So tonight we're going to look at 2 Kings chapter 23, verses 1 to 9. And later on in this chapter, there's a mention of keeping the commandments of the Lord, but as it was expressed at that time through the king. So the title is "The First of All the Commandments is Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." And when we read that, of course, we're thinking of the Israel of God. The world doesn't understand that, as simple as it is. It's just not understood. That it's not being reflected in, you know, the 40,000 plus denominations. The Lord is not one. The Lord is very divided in the world. So I read the verses. "The king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priest and the prophet, all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. And the king commanded Hilkiah, the high priest, and the priest of the second order, and the keepers of the door, to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal, for the grove, and for all the host of heaven. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron, and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. And he put down the idolatrous priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places, in the cities of Judah, and in the places round about Jerusalem, them also that burned incense unto Baal, to the sun, and to the moon, and to the planets, and to all the host of heaven. And he brought out the grove from the house of the Lord, without Jerusalem, unto the brook Kidron, and burned it at the brook Kidron, and stamped it small to powder, and cast the powder thereof upon the graves of the children of the people. And he brake down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove. And he brought all the priests out of the cities of Judah, and defiled the high places where the priest had burnt incense, from Geba to Beersheba, and break down the high places of the gates that were in the entering in of the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were on a man's left hand at the gate of the city. Nevertheless, the priests of the high places came not up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, but they did eat of the unleavened bread among their brethren." In this section of the book of Kings, we'll learn how corrupt Judah had become as a nation and to what extent King Josiah, who was a type of Christ, was going to go to destroy all the idolatry and wicked practices that had become ingrained into their culture over the years. So to what extent he would do that. For God's elect, this story typifies for us the order and progressive nature of judgment that is upon the body of Christ. Today, God is preparing the bride of our Lord through a process that is not going to be superficial, but fiery in its nature, so that the mind of Christ can be forged in each of his children, who will have their robes washed in the blood of the Lamb before the rest of mankind. Another way to see this story is the judgment that God's elect will bring upon the world after they have been judged and made ready in this life. Revelation 12, verses 11 and 12. "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death." Which Matthew 16, 25, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake," and that's important, "shall find it." It's by doing God's will, whatever God's will is, that's how we're going to lose our life, because it won't be will be as Christ saying, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in them. Let us be glad and rejoice. Like Jim just said, that sacrifice of praise, thanksgiving. More and more, Lord, help us, because we have so much to be thankful for, and I think we all know that. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, which is the same thing, just the world, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. So we wonder, that's why things wax worse and worse. That's why, because God's allowing it to show us that we're coming to a climactic ending. Christ is going to return. Josiah typifies Christ, who in type and shadow is demonstrating to all of Judah what God wants all the world to hear. The first of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. They will hear what the king has to say and even conform to the changes that are brought about. But in the end, the heart of the nations turn again to its idolatrous ways, and another series of evil kings will follow after the reign of King Josiah. And of course, we've been seeing that theme throughout the whole book of Kings. It's just the way God wants us to see that our growth and our overcoming, it's all of the Lord. He gives the increase. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 6. But to us, there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord our God is one, by whom are all things, and we by him. Ephesians 3, 9. And to make all men see what is the mystery, the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. At that day, this is what it means, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. We're hid in them. Philippians 3, 9, and be found in him, hid in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. 1 Peter 1:5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Blessed and holy is he who is part in the first resurrection. On such a second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So that's what the faith of Christ is doing for us. It's making it possible for us to endure, to overcome. But it's accompanied also with God's love, because we can have tremendous faith, and the world will have a measure of faith. But the faith of Christ is something that has to be tried. And that's the difference. When our faith is tried, we're also strengthened by Christ. We can endure all things through him. And God will see to it that the body of Christ will endure until the end. And that's the hope that God continually shows us in his word, that be confident of that. He who has begun a good work in you will finish it. Because you can be sure that's what the devil is trying to knock out of the hearts of mankind. The love of many will wax cold, because that's his MO. He wants us to not have that hope of glory. And we're here to build it up in each other, to remind each other. It is when we hear the voice of the true shepherd that we tear down the idols and wickedness within our own lives, typified by the actions that King Josiah took upon the nation of Israel. His actions typify how you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. When Josiah follows through and is zealous for the Lord to clean the land of all of its idolatrous ways, he typifies for those who have God's spirit what Christ is able to do within his people. We learn from the actions of this king that when we love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength, this is the first commandment. The result of those actions is that the second commandment will be fulfilled as well, because of the wholeheartedness being expressed in keeping God's commands, which demonstrates our love toward him and our neighbor. The second is like, namely this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's none other commandment greater than these. By this, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. If a man say, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? So our interaction, and this is something we're just growing and growing, and God looks at our interaction. He causes our interaction, and he leads us unto repentance to show us how to love our neighbor. And the more we interact with our neighbor, it's good, because we are learning about who we are based on how we react in every situation. It's all for our sakes as the body of Christ. God has it all in his hand as the master potter. So we can sit back and rejoice and give thanks. Not sit back, but look at it from that perspective of knowing that Christ is working in us, both to will and to do of God's good pleasure, as we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. So the first three verses, the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and with all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. The first three verses are a shadow of the time when Christ will come back to this earth during a thousand-year reign, gathering the elect from the four corners of the world, typified by this statement. And the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. And I saw thrones, Revelation 20, verse 4 and 5, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. And of course, that mark is upon all men, but those who are being judged are having that mark removed. We're overcoming through Christ. And that's why I can say that, because God can look at us and say, this is a new creation. We're no longer of our father, the devil. That mark's no longer on us, but it's being taken away through the judgment, through the destruction of the man of perdition by the brightness of Christ's coming. He shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Matthew 24, 31, which is what this verse is reminding us of in Revelation 11, 15. The seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Josiah will go into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great, and he will read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. Seeing these scriptures fulfilled in Christ's time, found in Luke 4:21, did not change the heart of the people any more than it did during this period of Josiah and during the thousand-year reign of his saints, of the saints. No matter what measures are enforced to make all the words of the book of the covenant evident, without God's power working in our lives, we will always come short and be found only with our own righteousness that can hear the word of God, but not keep it in our hearts. God always requires a witness to be given to the flesh that cannot fulfill his will without the power of God's Holy Spirit, as was the case with Peter, Matthew 26:34. All of mankind will be shown in their appointed time and order, that we can only read and hear the sayings of the prophecy, as opposed to God's elect, who will witness to the world through Christ, who enters into our spiritual house, typified by Josiah there, our temple, that we can do all three, read, hear, and keep the sayings of the prophecy, which is to keep his commandments as we witness our love and discipleship to one another through Christ. Blessed is he that reads and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. They may not know it now, but they will. And that's part of that testimony that we talked about earlier that has to be given. And it's all to the glory of God, but there's a testimony that the Lord lays up for the world to see. So they recognize, how did we accomplish this? How did this little remnant accomplish this great work? Of course, through Christ. When Christ returns a second time to this earth and is seen of all mankind, he will, like Josiah, stand by a pillar, which represents the elect bride of Christ. And the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. Galatians 2:9, when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. What will be required of the world is obedience and the keeping of God's laws, and that law and order will be established as typified with Josiah at this time in history. People will in turn learn of God's righteousness, is what we're being told, because his judgments are in the earth. But conversion is a miracle that is reserved for all of humanity in the lake of fire, where those words and the witness of Christ will finally bring about the long-awaited latter harvest that had its time of sowing seed during the thousand-year reign. And these verses all sort of bring this out, this point. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 1, cast your bread, which we know is God's word, upon the water. The bread is the word of God that has been cast upon humanity, for thou shalt find it after many days. Some indeed, and this is what it makes me think of, some indeed preach, we can't see because we got something in the way. Oh, there we go. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So that has been happening really since the creation. Everything that God has done is a representation of his plan that's going to be revealed in time. But we specifically know that our labors are not in vain. So when we cast that bread, it's every time we do something for the Lord and in his service, it is treasure laid up in heaven. Our prayers, our coming together, our whatever it is, our work, our relationships. For as the rain comes down, and Isaiah 55:10, and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed. So the seed is the starting point. It brings seed, it gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. And we're the eater, we're the blessed to read, hear, and keep. That's eating That's the eater. I've planted, Apollos water, but God gave the increase. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth, that shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it, and has been doing just that from the foundation of the world, like I mentioned, bringing the results that God wants to further his plan of salvation. So Josiah's life, the good kings and the bad kings, the in-between kings, they were all exactly what they were meant to be, and all for our learning, for the body of Christ, all for our sakes. James 5, verses 7 to 11. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, a husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. First and second resurrection. But you also, patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draws near. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge stands before the door. That makes me think of, kissing the son and just having that grateful attitude. And it's a miracle because we don't start off that way, but God is able to make this body really tender-hearted and realize our suffering is for the world. We're suffering for the world's sake, and we're suffering for each other's sake, and we're encouraged. And that makes us peculiar, because who can say that and understand that this is all working together for good for those who love God? All of our trials, everything. Take my brethren, the prophets, who've spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Revelation 19:7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. Be happy. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. You have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Verse 4, and the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest, and the priest of the second order, and the keepers of the door, to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal, and for the grove, and for all the hosts of heavens. And he burnt them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron, and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. The cleansing process for the world begins with having God's judgments in the earth, so that men can learn what is true righteousness before God. Isaiah 26:9, with my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. And the earth is the church. When God's judgments are in us, when we're in, typified again by Jonah, 3 days in the heart of the earth, and that great fish. O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Knowing what is right and being able to carry out a life of obedience are two different things. Regardless, there is always order in the house of God when Christ is present. And that order is being typified with the statement of events that were unfolding with Judah at this time. So it was typical, but it does represent the order that God will have during the thousand-year reign. There will be order. And the priests of the second order and the keepers of the door to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal and for the grove and for all the hosts of heaven. And he burnt them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. These were the commands that King Josiah made of Hilkiah, the high priest, and represents the elect's ruling over all the kingdoms of this world, including the religious kingdoms that are filled with idolatry and lies. We go without the camp with Christ today in order to have every idle word and action in our own lives burnt up. And if we are blessed to endure that process, that chastening and scourging, in this life, then we will begin the same process with the rest of the world symbolized by this statement. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach, because we know Christ will give us the strength. That the very fact that we're going without the camp where that bullock was offered tells us the great strength that God will provide for us when we are dedicated and we recognize this is what our life is. We are a living sacrifice, and we will be strengthened as we go without the camp, and so we can put our whole heart into serving the Lord and loving one another. For why? For we have no continuing city here. We have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Matthew 12:36, verse 36, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. 2 Corinthians 10:5-6, and this is what God is doing for us. He's putting that coal in our lips. He's burning up all of the idleness, and we don't have to worry about the world. We know that the world will give an accounting for all of those idle words, but God's showing us something through that. So for the body of Christ, we can do this. It's going to be a process, but we're going to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Verse 5, and he put down the idolatrous priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah and in the places round about Jerusalem. Them also they burnt incense unto Baal, to the sun and to the moon and to the planets and to all the hosts of heaven. So later on, we're going to show that distance between, was it Geba and the two cities, and I think that's so relevant. Gail was doing a little word study on that, looking at the distance, the actual physical distance between those cities, just to show us, to encourage us, the extent that God will go, as Josiah did, to tear down, to find those things that are hidden in the land, and to tear them down. And that's those are the giants in our land that are bred for us. So it's extremely encouraging. This king really gives us a lot of hope and a lot of promise that Christ will finish this work within us. This is what he did. He put down the idolatrous priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah, in the places round about Jerusalem, them also that burned incense unto Baal, to the sun, to the moon, to the planets, and to all the hosts of heaven. What Josiah put down at this time typifies for God's elect what we will put down when they rule 1,000, when we rule 1,000, the elect rule 1,000 years under Christ. The basis of religious priests, the idolatrous priests, will be put down, and there will be an end to days, months, times, and years, which days are connected to the celestials, to the sun and to the moon and to the planets and to all the hosts of heaven. The idolatrous priests represent the leaders of the churches of Babylon today and remind us that God can take the weak and base things of the world that he ordained. That's what it says in Daniel 4, verse 17. And typifies God's elect and have them, God's elect, the weak of the world, become the true leaders of this world who will do away with all of these wicked practices that are in the earth until this day. Verse 6, and he brought out the grove from the house of the Lord without Jerusalem unto the brook Kidron and burned it at the brook Kidron and stamped it small to powder and cast the powder thereof upon the graves of the children of the people. Even the memory of the bones that carried out our former conversations in the earth are witnessed against by taking the grove from the house of the Lord without Jerusalem unto the brook of Kidron and burnt it at the brook Kidron and stamped it small to powder and cast the powder thereof upon the graves of the children of the people. These actions that we read of in Malachi 4:1 are saying the same message of how nothing of our past is to be kept in order to become a new creation. For behold, the day comes and shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that comes shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 and 18. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That's to us, to the body of Christ. Of course, we are saviors that come up for that express purpose of reconciling the world. The grove is, it's the Phoenician goddess. It's H833. It's from that. And it means happy, but it's a Phoenician goddess of love. And Kidron is from H6937, a dusky place. And the root there is dark color. And also you see in sackcloth or sort of mourning. That's the whole point, that the death of our old man, basically. Verse 7, and he break down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the woman wove hangings for the grove. This verse typifies the defilement of God's word via the churches of Babylon, whose Laodicean spirit rules over the laity with a control that is likened unto the perversion of sodomy in 2 Kings 23, verse 7, that we're looking at. The Sodomites' houses are by the house of the Lord, which symbolizes the closeness of this perversion and the effect and hold that it has on the churches of Babylon, where the women, the churches, wove hangings for the grove. Weaving in this case is the negative example of its use and symbolizes the intricate pattern of lies that is hung upon the grove that is connected to a Phoenician goddess who symbolizes Mystery Babylon, who is a spiritual whore in God's eyes. Revelation 3, verses 14 to 16. Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. This is the PNB KJV that says, and unto the angel of the church of the people's rights, that's Laodicean. That's that inclusive spirit of this age that we have. These things saith the truth, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Verse 8, and he brought all the priests out of the cities of Judah and defiled the high places where the priests had burnt incense from Geba to Beersheba. This is what I was mentioning earlier. And break down the high places of the gates that were in the entering in of the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city, which were on a man's left hand at the gate of the city. King Josiah's actions symbolize for us today how we should feel about our former conversation in the churches of this world, who had promised us liberty but were not able to provide it, having been bound to lies, false doctrine, and false worship. We repent of being connected to those weak and beggarly elements, where we all start. It had control over our heavens for so long. King Josiah's actions demonstrate for us the zealous spirit that we now have to cleanse the temple of God from Geba to Beersheba, which is a distance of about 192 kilometers, 119 miles, according to this website, and which were the northern and southern boundaries of the land of Judah, according to John Gill's commentary. So it's just a shadow, of course, of the complete work that God does in the bride. And of course, ultimately in all the world will be cleansed and washed. 2 Peter 2, verse 19, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. Galatians 4, 9. That's a Laodicean spirit there. Galatians 4, 9. But now, after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? John 2, verse 15, speaking of Christ and Christ, what he can do within the body of Christ. And this is obviously very powerful. When he had made a scourge of small cords, that speaking about the unity, you know, we're bound together to the cross. So the body of Christ is being used together to drive out the beast in the temple. It's not a solo performance. We do stand or fall by ourselves, but like Paul said earlier in that verse, he says, I know your prayers are going to lead to my salvation. Our prayers are that important to one another. And when I first saw that verse, I thought that was a real revelation. That's the manifold knowledge, the many joints that supply, God telling us we're doing this together. That's what this scourge is, of small cords. Each prayer, each part of the body makes that happen. When he had made a scourge of small cords, after he did that, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables, breaking down the high places of the gates that were in the entering in of the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city. Is also symbolic language that tells us Christ and the elect will take away the power from the rulers of this world, which power is on a man's left hand at the gate of the city, as opposed to being the power of God that is on his right hand. That's being found with his righteousness and not our own. It's just saying the same thing. Where the elect will rule as kings and priests under our Lord as fishers of men. He said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. And of course, that's very symbolic, because the multitude, the innumerable multitude, is what God has called us to fish. All of mankind will be brought in through the church, through the manifest wisdom made known through the church. Verse 9, nevertheless, the priests of the high places came not up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, but they did eat of the unleavened bread among their brethren. The priests were not converted at this time, is what we are being told in this verse, but continued on in their traditions, not seeing the need to come up to the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, which symbolizes the place where we lay down our life for Christ as a living sacrifice. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Eating unleavened bread is just a show of our own righteousness, and not a heart that is changed and displaying the fruits of sincerity and truth that unleavened bread represent. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice, ill will, and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. As mentioned at the start of the study, there is a progressive nature to God's judgments that is upon the body of Christ. And we will continue next week, Lord willing, to look at that order with the second part of this chapter. The covers, we'll be looking at verses 10 to 18. And that's our study.